Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome to Victory Plaza, where we're going to watch the Mavericks and the Spurs in Game 6. And again, the Mavericks face elimination like they did the other day. If they're eliminated, that'll end their season. It's often thought of, well, what happens at the end of your life? You know, in this case, the end of the season comes. You have an off season, you have another season, you play again next year. And some religions teach that at the end of your life, you get reincarnated, you come back as something else, and then you get a chance to do it over again. And based on how good you did, you either go up or down. You either come back as a bug, or you come back as a prince. And it's based on your performance. Other religions teach that if you've been really good and you followed all the rules and you prayed enough times and you've done certain things, that when you die, that you'll be rewarded. So the question is, are you good enough to go to heaven? The Bible says it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. And that judgment is based on God's Ten Commandments. So ask yourself, have you kept the Ten Commandments? The ninth commandment says you shall not lie. If you've even told one lie in your whole life, God sees you as a liar. And Revelation 21:8 says that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire, which is hell. The sixth commandment says you shall not murder. But Jesus said, it was said of days of old, you shall not murder. But I tell you that if you even hate your brother without a cause, or call him a fool, you've already murdered them in your heart. The third commandment says you should not use God's name in vain or as a curse word. And my guess is that's going to happen a lot tonight. There's going to be calls that go your team's way. There's going to be calls that go against your team. And what's going to come out of your mouth? Is it going to be something that glorifies God, the God that created the heavens and the earth and even gave you life? Or is it going to be using God's name in a filthy, dirty way, a substitute for a four-letter curse word? The seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said that if you even look with lust, that you've already committed adultery in your heart. See, God's standard is perfection. It is so high, it's perfect. So how did you do? This is only four of the Ten Commandments. Have you lied, hated, which is murder, blasphemed God's name, or looked with lust, which is adultery? Will God find you innocent or guilty on that day? And if we're honest with ourselves, God will find every single one of us guilty of breaking His law. And see, there's a consequence for breaking a law, even if you don't believe in it. If you stand on the top of one of these buildings and jump off, you'll be subject to the law of gravity, and you'll fall to the ground and you'll go splat. In the same way, whether you believe in God or not, whether you believe in His law or not, when you die, you will be subjected to His wrath, His judgment. And so when we die, we'll be judged. If you've been found guilty, the wages of sin is death, and it's not just a physical death, but a spiritual death and an assignment to hell for all of eternity. Now, God has made one provision to save you from that eternal wrath, and that is through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, He stepped out of eternity, took the form of a man, came and lived on this earth, and for 30 or so years, He lived a perfect life. Now, not just that, but He Himself was perfect. See, Jesus, being fully God and fully man, was able to fulfill this law that each and every one of us has broken, whether we'll admit it or not. Because He fulfilled the law, He was able to become the perfect sacrifice to pay for your sin and mine. See, I haven't asked you if you've done anything that I haven't done. We're all equally guilty under God's law. And the only question is whether we'll admit it or not. So Jesus Christ, after He lived a perfect life, He willingly went to the cross and was crucified. And when He did that, He paid the sin of the entire world. Now, your sin payment has been made. It's as if you walked into a courtroom, you had broken three laws of the city of Dallas, and the judge says you owe $1 million fine, and as you are being cuffed, and because you don't have the money, you're being cuffed and you're being taken out into jail, someone you don't even know walks in, puts down $1 million on the judge's desk, says, I'd like to pay this man's fine. If that happened, the judge would say you're free to go. Now you can decide whether to go or not go, but the judge has released you. Your penalty has been paid. And this is the same thing that Jesus Christ has done. Your payment has been made on the cross when Jesus died and he rose from the dead. Your payment has been made. The only question is whether you'll receive it. Now Jesus, after he died, 3 days later he rose from the dead. He was observed by over 500 people, and then he's ascended into heaven. The Bible says that he will come back again, and when he comes again, it will be in judgment. The only way to have eternal life, to receive the gift of eternity in heaven, is to repent, to turn away from your sins. In Acts 17, it says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. In Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the gospel. See, we must turn away from our sin, and then we must believe the gospel, which says that Jesus paid the fine for me. See, just as if I'm in the courtroom, if I don't believe that the payment has been made, I can tell the judge to put me in jail anyways. And that's what many people will do, is they'll choose their sin over choosing the Savior. Now, not only does Jesus save you, not only do you need a Savior, and Jesus saves you, but Jesus is the only Savior that can save you. And what I'd like to do now is read from the Bible some of the attributes, titles, and descriptions of Jesus that show why he is this perfect God and Savior. Jesus is advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Revelation 22 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the author of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 says, for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Jesus is God's beloved Son. Matthew chapter 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is the bread of heaven. John chapter 6, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bridegroom. Matthew chapter 9 says, and Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus is a child born, a son given. Isaiah chapter 9, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Jesus is the Christ of God. Luke chapter 9 says, "And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.'" You see, Jesus was prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. And when he came, people were asking, "Well, who is this man?" Some said he's just a prophet. Some religions today say he's just a prophet. But Jesus' followers, Peter, said he's the Christ of God. He was prophesied to be this perfect Savior. Luke chapter 23 says, "And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, the chosen one.'" Jesus is Christ our Passover. 1 Corinthians says, "Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in the fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed." Jesus is the cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And 1 Peter chapter 2, "For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed.'" See, Jesus Christ, he wants to be the cornerstone of your life. If you will surrender your life to Jesus and follow him, make him the cornerstone of your life. No, it doesn't promise that everything will go right and everything will be perfect in your life, but it gives you a foundation to build your life upon, the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the deliverer. Romans chapter 11, "And thus all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob." Jesus is descendant of David. 2 Timothy 2, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel." See, this is important because Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prophesied that he would come from the line of David. Just as he was prophesied, it came, and that's what 2 Timothy is telling us here. Jesus is the despised one. Isaiah 49 says, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel has chosen you." Jesus is the door of the sheep. John chapter 10. "Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.'" Jesus is eternal Father. Isaiah chapter 9, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus is the faithful witness. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Jesus is the first and the last. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:18, "He is also head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything." Jesus is also the firstborn of all creation. Colossians 1:15 says, "And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the foundation firmly placed. Isaiah 28. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Jesus is the friend of sinners. Matthew chapter 11. The Son of Man shall come eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Jesus is the fullness of deity. Colossians chapter 2 says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus is the gift of God. John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus is the glory of Israel. Luke chapter 2. The light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus is God with us. Matthew chapter 1. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus is God's chosen one. Luke chapter 23 says, and the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Jesus is God's holy servant. Acts chapter 4. For truly in this city there are gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of the holy servant Jesus. Jesus is God's mystery. Colossians chapter 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ himself. Jesus is the good shepherd. John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good teacher. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 7. So much the more also, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Jesus is the guardian of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 2. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Jesus is he who is holy. Revelation chapter 3. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open. Jesus is the head. Colossians chapter 2. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Jesus is the head over all rule and authority. Colossians chapter 2. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Jesus is the head of the body. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Jesus is the head over all things, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him his